Welcome to the Mark in the Morning podcast. Want to receive this daily? Search Mark in the Morning on iTunes, Stitcher, Audio Boom, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is?
I'll tell you what day it is. It's a crap day. Nothing is working. Gina's gone. We finally got the phones back up. We didn't have those for 20 minutes. Good God. Welcome to Wednesday.
It's going to be a good day.
When it's too much, you just got to roll with it, bitches. So today, Selma Blair apologizes. She freaked out on an airplane, apparently a combination of liquor and prescription medication. Her apology, though, is about as good as they get. So I'll share that with you. 6 G-rated turn-ons for guys. And I got to tell you, it's a solid list. I agreed with almost every one of them. I'll get that to you. Couples who share housework reap major benefits. I'll talk you through it. A guy literally has skeletons in his closet. We speak today to Mark Cohn. He's the walking in Memphis guy. We continue following the Led Zeppelin trial. David Shulps is back on the phone with us at 10 minutes until 7. The top 10 fast food restaurants. Will you agree? 4 reasons today doesn't suck. We speak with people from the Rams, including Vince Ferragamo today, because we, 100.3 The Sound, are the official FM radio station for the Rams.
Yeah.
We're going to be speaking with a Cavs fan. He is going to the parade. It's in Cleveland today. And if they don't set the lake on fire, the parade will happen. We speak with him at the shop. And today, I'm inviting you to be my Gina. I'll fully explain that momentarily. This is Mark in the Morning. Now, today is going to be different. And having said that, keep in mind, I could talk for 12 days without stopping.
That's true.
With no prep. But I'm alone today. Gina is on vacation. She took a rare opportunity where Adam Carolla took some days. So she's taking these days so that she can have some vacation time. Some badly earned vacation time. This girl works harder than 50 people. So what I basically got, I got Mikey, who is virtually worthless as far as broadcast is concerned. And I've got Jackie, who is equally worthless.
Oh, my God, Mark.
As far as broadcast is concerned. Good morning, Jackie. How are you?
What's up? I'm here. No, just kidding. It's Wednesday. I'm really excited. I know we had a rough start in the beginning. It was a little tense, but I think it's going to be all right.
Well, we did get our phones back. So here's the deal. Now, tomorrow and Friday, I've got Lucy Walsh coming in. She is Joe Walsh's daughter. She came in. She had such a fun time that we invited her to come co-host for me. But today, as I said, I got Mikey and I got Jackie, which means I got nothing.
Mark, I'm not even going to drink coffee today so that I can be at your disposal at all times and not even go to the bathroom to pee.
Kissing his ass. It's not worth it. Trust me.
All right, so here's the deal. I can let you, the listener, be my Gina today. One per break. You'll just, like, I'll do the show like I always do, and you'll be on the phone to comment. So if you want to be my Gina today, one per break, 888-696-1003. Because I'll do stuff like this. The songwriters of Stairway to Heaven both took the stand in Los Angeles yesterday to tell how the song was composed. Both men disputed testimony from members of Spirit who said that they had hung out together at parties in England. Robert Plant said he couldn't remember anything about a 1971 Spirit show because he and his wife had been in a car crash on the way home. Page flatly denied being at a 1973 show in London. Other witnesses with direct financial knowledge of Led Zeppelin's affairs testified about the current revenue generated by Stairway to Heaven. Their figures made the song seem far less profitable than an economist called by the plaintiffs last week had said. Mikey, your thoughts on this?
I still stand by the fact that it is very close, very similar, but it is not the same song. I just, you know, you hear things or you see things. It's probably the same thing for writers for TV shows and movies. They see something on the screen and they're like, oh, that's a pretty good idea. And they write something kind of like that, you know, like it's just everything is interpreted differently. And then you make your own, you know, art with it. So yeah, I think they probably heard it, but it's a different song.
I don't deny the similarities. They're pretty clear. But, you know, if you do this, you open up a can of worms. We got 12 musical notes. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't possibly think that there's not going to be some familiar moments. But to share revenue and to say that it was based on your song and, yes, you're going to get half the money.
And it's 10% of the song, you know? I mean, it's a 7.5 minutes, or 6:57, I think, is the actual length of Stairway to Heaven. It's a tenth of the song. So maybe they should get a tenth of the portion of what they made from Stairway to Heaven.
Well, the case is going to wrap up this week, and as I said, at 10 minutes until 7, we'll speak with David Schultz. He's been following the trial, because we're going to probably have a verdict by Friday, I would think. The two most expensive guitars ever sold at auction were Bob Dylan's Fender Strat from his first electric show in 1965. That sold for $965,000 in December 2013. And then Eric Clapton's Strat named Blackie, which brought in $959,000 in 2004. Those records have been shattered by a guitar associated with Bryan Adams. In 2005, just after the tsunami hit Southeast Asia, he began the Bryan Adams Foundation, and to get things rolling, he asked as many of his musician colleagues to sign a white Stratocaster, which he bought for $150,000. The owner then put the guitar up for auction. It sold for $2,700,000, with the money going to the Reach Out to Asia Foundation. As for the autographs, it features signatures from Eric Clapton, Mick Jagger, Keith Richards, Brian May, Jimmy Page, David Gilmour, Jeff Beck, Pete Townsend, Mark Knopfler, Ray Davies, Ronnie Wood, Tony Iommi, that's hard, Angus Young, Malcolm Young, Paul McCartney, Sting, Def Leppard, Liam Gallagher, and Richie Blackmore. $2,700,000.
Wow. That's like, yeah. And you named basically the top 25 musicians in the history of classic rock. So
yeah, that's a pretty cool gig. Yeah.
Now, the name soon to be heard around the universe is Mr. Mike TV. You love to watch TV, Mike?
You bet.
Yeah, I do. And last night on Jimmy Fallon, Neil Young showed up. And Jimmy and Neil did a song called Two Neil Youngs on a Tree Stump. Literally, it was Jimmy Fallon as Neil Young and Neil Young as Neil Young singing a song about Neil Young. Here we go.
To warn your ass.
Anyway, they go on for a couple more minutes. I put that up on Mark in the Morning's Facebook page. I also thought there were some pretty good jokes last night, so let's do a couple jokes from the guys, Conan, Seth Meyers, and Jimmy Fallon.
New York subway this morning suffered an accidental stampede in Manhattan after commuters mistakenly thought a man had a gun, and dozens panicked and ran for the exits. But luckily, he was just masturbating. Just masturbating. I'm sorry to alarm everyone. And this is where I get off, so I bid you a good day.
This is cool. 72 new emojis came out today, and I saw that one of the new emojis is a pregnant woman. Yeah. Apparently, it's the emoji you get 9 months after texting you up.
This is fascinating. If you're into dinosaurs, I think this is really cool. Scientists now think the Tyrannosaurus Rex immigrated to North America from Asia. Yeah. So now scientists think the T-Rex was wiped out by its parents' crushing academic demands.
There you go. There's your mic.
Good job.
So Gina is on vacation, hardly earned vacation. And so since she's not here, I'm inviting you to be my Gina for a break. We welcome Fred in from Simi Valley. Good morning, Fred.
Good morning, Mark. How are you doing?
Really good. Now, you know what to do. I'm going to read a piece of content, then you give your opinion on it, okay?
Okay.
All right, you'll be Gina. Here we go.
Why don't we do it in the road?
A New Zealand man gave new meaning to the phrase taking it to the street by dropping his pants and attempting to have sex with an actual street. While a friend of his crouched on all fours offering encouragement, a not-so-safe-for-work video uploaded to Reddit shows the 20-something-year-old guy going at it for a good bit before finally zipping up and getting on with his day. In other words, he rode it hard and put it away wet.
Yes, Fred, and he did it crack in the street.
Fred.
A little dry.
What do you do for a living, Fred?
I work construction.
Nice. Boy, working construction outside during this heat?
It works out. I have ways to keep cool.
And what are those ways?
I wrap some ice around my neck, and it keeps me cool for 2-3 hours, and I get more ice.
So, Fred, today for my workout, I'll be doing naked yoga.
I don't want to be there.
You're going to Facebook Live it, right?
Boy, that would be unfortunate for everybody involved. Fred, do you work out?
Nope. Other than just working.
Well, I guess working construction, that is working out.
Yeah, these guys are jogging by. I say, hey, I got a shovel and a wheelbarrow here. Come on and help. But they jog on down and they go to the gym.
Now, being in the sun all day, do you put on sunblock? Do you put on lotion?
Oh, yeah.
Fred, you're a man of few words.
Move it up real good.
Which is not helping me. All right, let's try this, Fred. Good luck to you. A stage show based on Cheers is going to premiere in Boston in September. The show will feature the most memorable moments of the sitcom's first season. A national tour is in the works.
Well, what I can't fathom is how one can drink ice-cold beer in freezing weather.
Cliff, explanation, please.
Now, how do you know he has one?
$5 says he does, 10 says it's a doozy. When the British ruled the Punjab, $10 all the way.
Now, Fred, is that something you'd be interested in seeing?
I enjoyed Cheers, and I enjoy beer. I don't know if I'd go to the show.
All right. Well, it's going to be on a national tour, so you might want... Are you married with kids?
I have 4 great kids, and I'm in a committed relationship.
Okay. How old are your kids?
24, 26, 34, and 36.
Oh, okay. So you're an old guy.
Yeah, I'm an old guy.
How old are you?
A couple months younger than you.
Wow. That just means I'm really old. Well, Fred, you're
No, we're just hitting our prime, I think.
Well, you're a man of few words, but I appreciate you being Gina for this break.
You're welcome.
Coming up, Paul will be our Gina. Stand by. So Gina's on vacation for the next 5 days. Tomorrow and Friday, Lucy Walsh, the daughter of Joe Walsh, will join us and help do the show. But for this break, my Gina is Paul calling from Whittier. Good morning, Paul.
Great morning, Mark. How are you today?
Really good. Now, you're going to get a special treat, and I'm going to share some content here in a minute. But then you and I are going to interview Mark Cohn from Walking in Memphis.
No, actually, they're on the line that we have for the phones and our we call it the Zephyr, is the same, Mark, so we actually can't.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
All right. It'll be fine.
Yeah,
you're good.
It's going to be great.
All right. So you know what your job is, right?
Yes.
All right, here we go. Charlie Sheen says that Donald Trump gave him platinum diamond Harry Winston cufflinks for a wedding gift, and it turned out they were cheap pewter and bad zirconias.
Winning.
What are your thoughts, Paul?
Oh, man, I don't know. Like, I actually don't even know what to say about that. That's just beyond anything. How can you be so cheap? I mean, you're one of the richest guys in the world. Why would you fake the funk like that? That's so inappropriate.
Paul, what are your thoughts on Trump?
Well, you know, I actually don't have an opinion. I try to keep it away. You know, I mean, it's such a, you know, I mean, Suthma seats when you're trying to do these things. I'm just kidding. I just really do try to stay away from the politics side. I mean, if I have to make a choice, it's either you're going down this way or you're going down that way. It's not really much of a decision to be made other than how you want to die in my head. So that's just what it is right there. And there's really no opinion.
One of the last people to see Prince alive is telling her story. In April, Judith Hill was one of two passengers with Prince on the night that he overdosed in his private jet. She told the New York Times how Prince described the ordeal, quote, "I had to fight for my life. I remember hearing your voices from afar and saying to me, follow the voices, get back to your body, you've got to do this." Judith spent 2 years with Prince following her competition on The Voice. She claimed to have been unaware that Prince had abused powerful prescription painkillers. She didn't even know he was in pain from hip surgery. However, in the week between that fatal overdose and his death, Prince sought medical treatment to overcome his addiction. Judith lamented, quote, "That's the part that breaks my heart, because he was trying." Your thoughts, Paul?
Oh, man. Prince, it's such a tragedy, you know. Since the moment he was gone, I still can't believe it. Huge fan. Huge fan.
Me as well.
Musician, he's just too big of a loss for the community.
I agree. And Paul, it was odd because on the day that it was happening, my wife and I were at lunch and Matt texted that they found somebody dead at Prince's house. And based on the story that I shared with him on his airplane, I knew that it was going to be him. And I immediately got up and ran home knowing that I needed to get on the air and share my thoughts about it. And even though I'm a huge fan, I did not grieve it until after my professional part had gotten on the radio and dealt with that. It is one of the most shocking things I've ever been through.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, when we went through Michael Jackson going, you know, as he went suddenly as well, like, it's just like your heroes when you grow up, you know, these guys, these giants, these humongous giants that are the greatest, you know, at their craft. And when they go, you just, this huge void, like, you don't know how much of a place they take in your heart until they're gone. You know?
Paul, you did a great job being Gina. Thank you, and do call again. And by the way, thank you for listening.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Then I'm walking in Memphis. Just walking with my feet 10 feet off a beam.
This is one of the greatest songs I've ever heard. And the guy that composed it and sings it has been a friend of mine for 25 years. We welcome to the program Mr. Mark Cohn. Good morning, Mark.
Mark, this makes me so happy to talk to you.
Dude,
it's a great surprise.
I have to share a memory with you. You were on the Mark and Brian program, and you had gotten shot in the head, and you're on the air, and I said to you, I was so worried, and your response was, oh, you were worried.
I remember that, actually.
So, Mark, being that this is one of your greatest achievements, this song, Walking in Memphis, it's right at perfect. Do you ever try to think back and remember what you ate the night before and what you were wearing so that you could replicate it?
So I could replicate it. That's very funny. No. I have to say, I mean, I feel very lucky that I can claim that one as my own. I'm really proud of that song and the fact that 25 years later, it's still being played. People still respond the way they do in the shows. But no, I've been busy on and off for the last 25 years just trying to keep getting better at what I do as a singer, a writer, performer. And the last few years have been really, really great.
Well, this is the reason we're talking to Mark. In celebration of the 25th anniversary of his platinum-selling debut album, Mark proudly releases Careful What You Dream, Lost Songs and Rarities, and the bonus album Evolution of a Record, featuring never-before-heard songs and demos dating back to years before his debut album and the Grammy Award that followed. So exactly what are we going to hear with this new record, Mark?
Well, the first CD is basically 12 songs that I completely forgot existed. I went back with Ben Wish, the man I produced the first record with, and we went looking for the demos that we found of Walking in Memphis, Silver Thunderbird, True Companion, and that's sort of the bonus disc where you hear how Memphis became the record it became from the very first piano vocal demo I did. But the first record is comprised of something I wasn't expecting to find, which are 12 or 13 songs that never made it onto a record, that, as like you said, are about 28, 29 years old, that surprisingly, when I went back to listen to them, sounded good to me. And I basically am just releasing this compilation of demos and early songs that I think are kind of interesting. If you're a fan, it sort of shows my process and my growth as a songwriter and a singer, and before I was a signed artist, but doing my craft and trying to get better. And just put it on a CD.
Mark, I want you to do me a favor, and I can't explain what or why, but I want you to save a date in your calendar. Can you do that for me?
Save a date?
Yep.
I'm writing it down.
December the 10th.
December the 10th. What's happening on that date?
I can't announce it yet because all the paperwork that needs to be signed hasn't been signed. But once that has been done, I'm going to call you and okay. I'm going to remind you that you saved December the 10th for me.
Can you tell me how much the check is going to be for?
So Gina is on vacation for a few days, and I'm inviting you to become my Gina for each break. Today, we welcome in Jeff Millard from Oak Hills. Good morning, Jeff.
Well, good morning. How are you doing?
Now, is it Millard or Millard?
You actually had it right. You're the first person ever to have it right.
I rarely make mistakes, Jeff.
I know that.
Now, Jeff, you and I, your job today as Gina, you and I are going to interview David Shulps. He's been following this trial for Led Zeppelin. Now, Jeff, you have heard this comparison, have you not?
Yes, I have.
And your thoughts on that?
You know, it's very similar, but out of all the millions of songs that are written in the world, there's going to be similarities. I don't think it was stolen. Plus, they're such geniuses. Why would they need to steal anything?
All right, we bring in with that thought David Shulps. He's been following this trial. Good morning, David.
Good morning.
Now, yesterday, Robert Plant and Jimmy Page both testified. Can you give us the basic idea as to what they said?
Well, Jimmy said that basically he kind of took the jury through how he wrote Stairway, and again said that it began, this time he said it began at his home. He wanted to write something that was epic, anthemic, and that basically he had the idea for the whole thing plotted out before he even took it to the band in Headley Grange, the cottage that they were working at the time. then they played four different work demos that were recorded when he was playing the song to John Paul Jones for the first time, when he was bringing Robert Plant in to sing some lyrics. There was one point where, and Plant alluded to this when he was on the stand, that he was singing out of tune, and he sat there and grimaced to have to listen to this. And finally they played the entire completed Stairway to Heaven for the jury. So, you know, they now have a good idea of what Page had in mind. But it didn't really, you know, it didn't address the elephant in the room, which was, did he take those first 2 minutes from Spirit?
Now, both men got on the stand, if I'm correct, and they distanced themselves from the alleged crossing paths with Spirit. They both denied really knowing them.
Yeah, absolutely. And Jimmy Page flatly denied that he was at a Spirit after party where a member of a later version of Spirit said he had talked to Page there. And Robert Plant was at a, and he didn't deny he was there, he was at a Spirit show in Birmingham in 1971. He said he remembers absolutely nothing about it because he got into an auto accident on the way back from the show, he and his wife, and basically he just remembers nothing about it. It was a pretty bad crash, if I remember.
Jeff, do you have a question for David?
I was just curious why the impending lawsuit is going on now when all these years have gone by.
Well, something happened in 2014 that there was a Supreme Court decision that there was no statute of limitation on copyright infringement cases. Huh. And they filed this suit, I think, within 2 weeks of that Supreme Court decision. Now, the reason before, we've been told, was that Randy California, who wrote Taurus, did not have the money to launch a copyright suit. However, there were also some interviews with him where he said it's not that big a deal. He kind of changed his tune in other interviews where he said he was very irritated by it, but at that point didn't have the funds to pursue it.
David, this trial has happened quicker than I thought it would. Do you expect a decision this week?
I think it's very, very likely, yeah. You know, unless the jury gets hung up on something, they're going to be do closing arguments this morning. The jury will be instructed as to what is law in this case and what they cannot bring into it. And after that, you know, they will decide in whenever they decide, basically.
Well, David, once the decision has been made, I would love to be able to get you back on the phone to discuss the decision.
I'll be right here.
David, thank you very much for your time.
You're very welcome.
Thank you, David.
Bye-bye. Yeah.
Jeff, you were great. I didn't think you'd have a question, but you did. And you, not only did you have a question, you had a great question. Mikey.
I'm just reminding you to tell people to call for 5 seconds.
Thank you, Mikey.
You're welcome.
888, it's the biggest thing going. Mm-hmm. Jeff can tell you, 5 seconds for 40, is it $45 today?
$40. 40.
That is nuts. Yep. This is crazy. Everybody's talking about it.
I hear the buzz in the office here.
All right, Jeff, check this out. For a guy who has a reputation of showing up late to shows, a new sponsorship deal with Axl Rose makes all the sense in the world. He is going to be the spokesperson for a boutique watchmaker. Now, Mikey, you waited how long to see this guy?
The longest I ever waited was the show was supposed to start at 9. He came on at 1:30. So what is that, 4.5 hours? That's the longest I've ever waited.
Now, yeah. How many times have you seen him?
Five times.
Wow.
Yeah. And did you have to wait every single time?
No. So Metallica, Gene Arthur, Rose Bowl, Metallica went on first. Gene Arthur came on about 2 hours later, so it was probably about 11 o'clock at night. So that wasn't too bad. The Wiltern shows were 1 and 1:30. The Forum shows, I think he went on at 11. And then this last show at the Troubadour, they went on at 12. So I waited quite a bit. I probably waited at least a full day altogether.
Well, I'm sure after seeing him that many times, you bunkered down. You know you're going to be sitting there for hours.
Yeah, yeah. And it's cool just hanging out with people talking, wondering when they're going to go on. You know, the lights slightly dim and everyone gets all excited. And then nothing's happening.
Now, Jeff, what is the greatest concert you've ever seen?
Oh, you know what? To be honest, I've been to some spectacular ones on huge arenas. And I'm not just saying this to butter you up, but I was blessed to be in your studio with Dwight Yoakam.
Ooh.
And to be sitting there that close, he said, here, you guys got to wear these earplugs. And I said, no, I didn't come here to wear earplugs. I want to hear this. And he said, oh, this is going to be loud. And it was. My ears were ringing for 2 weeks, but it was worth it.
Well, I mean, what he's talking about, the first week of Mark in the Morning, we had Dwight Yoakam and John Waite perform. And Dwight had warned me. He said, dude, I'm bringing my entire band and we're plugging in. This is gonna bring the roof down. And it was freaking loud, but it was awesome.
It was. That
was one of my favorites. Jeff, I want you to stay with me through 5 seconds for $40, okay? You'll be Gina for one more small break.
That sounds great. I'm not near as cute as she is, and I don't have her laugh down.
Hey, dude, you're doing a great job.
All right, thanks, Mark.
5 seconds for $40.
Now, Gina is on vacation this week, and I'm having listeners be Gina. Right now, we have Jeff Millard. I didn't ask you, Jeff, what do you do for a living?
I work for a big L.A. construction company in the office, though. I'm not out there in the heat like all these guys that I'm so proud of. That's an incredible job this week.
All right, so we welcome for 5 seconds for $40 today. We welcome Anthony calling from Riverside. Good morning, Anthony.
Morning. How you guys doing?
Doing good. Now, you live in Riverside. Did you lose a bet or something?
No. Well, I'm originally from Torrance, but the parents split up and ended up in Riverside. So,
do you like living in... Do you like Riverside?
It's the best city in the Inland Empire, but I'd rather be at the beach.
All right. How old are you, Anthony?
23.
Do you work yet?
Yeah, I'm actually a real estate agent.
Ooh, how's that going?
It's going good. I'm just starting it. Prior to that, I own my own carpet cleaning business. 5150 Carpet Cleaning, yeah. Van Halen fan.
Nice. Yeah, good name.
So, Anthony, would you not concur with Jeff and I that 5 seconds for $40, everybody's talking about it. It's the biggest thing anywhere. Would you agree?
Totally. I've been listening to almost every single game.
Do you have a girlfriend, Anthony?
Not at the moment, no.
What's wrong with you?
No, nothing. Just not no luck so far.
What is the longest period of time that you've had a girlfriend?
I'd say about 2 years, almost 2 years.
And what happened to the relationship?
You learn after a year, and then you realize, okay, after that second year, that person is not really stable mentally.
Oh, so that's not good.
did you name your company after her?
No. Just a huge Van Halen fan, but actually won front row tickets from you guys last year for Van Halen.
Now, Anthony, did you actually sit down and break up with her?
Yeah, I did.
Face-to-face?
Face-to-face at school, yeah. I remember that, yeah.
How did she take it?
Let's just say she already knew what was coming. But I'll be honest, I was playing relationship chicken, and then one day I was done. So, you know.
All right, Anthony, I'm going to ask you a question. You're going to have 5 seconds to answer it. This question is very gettable. Especially for the fact that you're young. I'm going to ask a question that you can get, but you only get 5 seconds to get it. You understand that, right?
Do it.
All right, here we go.
Good luck.
whose number one singles included Time After Time in 1984 and True Colors in 1986?
Five, four, money, three, two, come on. One.
Oh, it's so easy.
Do you have a guess, Anthony?
I'm not even sure about my idea.
All right, Jeff, do you know it?
I believe that was Cyndi Lauper.
Yep.
That would have been $40 in your pocket, Jeff. Dang, that is correct. However, Anthony, you didn't get it.
It's a bummer.
This is Jeff laughing at it. Hey, Anthony, I thoroughly enjoyed talking to you, my friend. What is it you enjoy about Mark in the Morning?
Honestly, you guys, I know it's a cliche, everybody says it, but you really do make my morning much more funnier. I mean, like, it just, you guys, every single person on the show is fantastic. It's one of those shows where it's just every single person was meant to be there, and it's a pretty good show. No, and if possible, this is my only request, to Van Halen, if they're out there, either make an album or get together with Sammy Hagar and David Lee Roth and do a tour or something, because one of you guys are going to die. It's going to be a bummer. So come on, please. This is a shout-out to Eddie Van Halen. Please.
Anthony, I couldn't have enjoyed talking to you more. Please do call me again.
Will do. Thank you.
If I might add, Anthony was saying how charming Mark is. What about his sidekick?
Oh, well, I mean, everybody. Yeah, that's
Thank
why
you.
It's called.
Thank you
that's
very
why
much.
It's called. And let's hear it for Jeff, everybody. Yeah. What a great genius was he. Jeff Millard, you call back anytime, my friend.
Oh, well, thank you. I take that, and I will.
Talk to you soon.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Our next Gina is Kelly from Dana Point. Supertramp. This is Mark in the Morning. Now, Gina is taking some much-deserved vacation time, and so today I've been asking you to help be my Gina for the show. Our next one is Kelly from Dana Point. Good morning, Kelly.
Good morning, Mark. How are you?
I'm really good. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
All right. Now, coming up, Kelly, you're going to join me. I'm going to share with everybody the top 10 fast food restaurants, and I'm going to be looking at you for an opinion on each one of these, Kelly.
I think I can help you.
That's coming up at 20 minutes after 7. This is Mark in the Morning. Now, Gina is on vacation, and so I'm having listeners be my Gina for the day. Today, this break, we welcome in Kelly from Dana Point. Good morning, Kelly.
Good morning, Mark.
So, how old are you?
I am 39 years old.
Nice. You married?
I am married to my... I have a wife.
Oh, nice, nice.
I'm your lesbian, Mark.
Nice. Hey, listen, I got your letter. Did you send me a letter the other day?
I sure did, about the lady bits down below.
Holy crap, man. She got right to it. I read it to the room. Obviously, I couldn't read it on the radio, but that was awesome.
Well, that's what I do. I aim to please, Mark.
All right, so Kelly, here's what we're going to do this break. I'm going to count down the top nine fast food restaurants in America. Are you ready for this?
I am ready for this.
Number nine, Domino's Pizza. Now,
have you tried the flatbread Philly cheesesteak Domino's Pizza?
I have not.
You've got to do it. I mean, it's not the best, but it's right up there for fast food pizza.
The last time I had Domino's, Katie was here, and she loves Domino's, so we ordered it. And it's kind of... You know, it's there, and it's okay, and you're hungry, so you eat it, but there's so many better places to, for me.
Mm-hmm. They deliver till 2 a.m., Mark. That's the thing.
Well, I mean, yeah, if it's 1 o'clock and you got the hungries, you know, call Domino's.
That's
Mikey,
what I'm talking about.
You're a pizza nut. What about you?
It's funny. We had Domino's in here about 2 weeks ago, Jackie and I and a bunch of people, and I was like, oh, I got Domino's. But they got the deep dish Domino's, and it was pretty good. I was surprised. Not great, okay. But it was good.
All right, number eight, I love it because I enjoy food that has doo-doo on it, Chipotle. And look, I haven't been back since that, but I do love Chipotle. There's whatever they do to the chicken is just, it's spicy and so good.
I hear you on on that. The chicken is good. The everything seems fresh, and then you just go and get yourself sick on it.
Number seven, we're inside the top nine fast food restaurants in America. Number seven, Subway. Now, look, if I'm going to have a deli sandwich, I'm going Jersey Mike's. I haven't been to Subway in years.
I'm here in Dana Point, and that's all we have is Subway and a couple local sandwich shops. So now and then I've got to hit the Subway, but the flatbread isn't too bad.
The number six, you don't think of it primarily as fast food, but I guess it is Dunkin' Donuts. Everybody in my family is, except me, is addicted to Dunkin' Donuts coffee. Linda will drive 30 miles to the Dunkin' store to get those little cups. Mikey's shaking his head.
It's ridiculous. What they do is they flavor the coffee with some syrup, but then you're not tasting the coffee. If you go out, like Andy Chandler says, and either roast your own or buy really good coffee, you don't need to flavor it. It's ridiculous.
When Andy Chandler came out to go to the Colts game, he mailed the coffee grinder, the beans that he roasts himself, and I love bold coffee. He grinded that up, made that coffee, and all I had to do was smell it and go take a crap. That's how intense it was. Okay, the top five fast food restaurants in the America. Number five, Arby's. We have the meats.
I don't know about that one.
I haven't had Arby's in 20 years. Anybody?
No, me neither.
I used to have Arby's in high school. They had the 5 for $5, and so five sandwiches for $5, and we'd get really high and eat them, and they were great then. Don't know how they are now.
Nacho cheese should not be on sandwiches. That's all I'm saying.
The number four fast food restaurant, Linda and I eat at this once every couple of weeks, Panera Bread. Oh,
yeah. Panera Bread is great.
Yeah, they have a lot of unique things. You know, if you want to eat healthy, you can get just fresh turkey sandwiches, and they make their own bread, so it's pretty great. All right, the number three fast food restaurant, Little Caesars.
What? Yes, yes. No, Mikey.
It's good, Mikey. But number three?
Yes.
No.
Have you tried their new pizza?
The bacon one?
No, but it's really thick. The new thick one, have you tried it? Mm-mm. It's only $8.
Should we get it today?
Yes.
Okay.
Now, Friday, Mikey, Friday. What is your go-to pizza? Because you're a pizza nut.
My go-to pizza? Oh, man. I mean, I don't do fast food pizza. It's usually like restaurants. Like, if I'm going to get a good pizza, I'll either get a frozen one that's like a Trader Joe's. They have really good frozen ones. But then I'll get a pizza at a restaurant. So it's a place you wouldn't even know. Like, there's a place called Flame in Reseda. I can't think of...
Look, mom and pop local pizza shops. We've got one here called Mama's Pizza. Mm-hmm. The ingredients are fresh. It's not been sitting on a truck for 2 weeks, and it's just superior, and they deliver, and it's so good.
You know who has a good pizza? Whole Foods. If you get the brick oven pizza that they make at the actual place, it's really good.
All right, the top two fast food restaurants in America. Number two, and I've never had it, Papa John's.
A lot of pizza on your list. Papa John's is not number two.
Yeah.
All right. Number one. Let's go around the room. Number one, Kelly. The number one fast food restaurant in America.
Oh, I'm going McDonald's just because there's one on every corner.
Mikey.
It's America, so it's not L.A. I would say In-N-Out. Let's go... Carl's Jr. I don't know.
Jackie.
Well, if they consider Dunkin' Donuts, I'm going to say Starbucks.
Interesting. I obviously don't get to eat this much, but whenever I do, it's a better day because their food is just the best. Piping hot every time. The number one fast food restaurant in America. Chick-fil-A.
Oh, yeah.
I love Chick-fil-A.
Dude. A fresh fried chicken patty, mustard, and pickles.
Yes.
So good. Kelly, you did a great job, and I'm going to let you do a radio thing. I want you to say, coming up, 4 reasons today doesn't suck, and that comes your way at 7:35. Go ahead, Kelly.
Hey, thanks, Mark. You're listening to Mark in the Morning on 100.3 The Sound.
So, Gina is on vacation, and I've had a lot of listeners call up and help out. My wife of 34 years, Skeeter, is joining us to be my co-host for this next segment. Good morning, Skeeter.
Good morning.
How you doing?
I'm great.
Nice. Okay, it is time now for four reasons.
Oh, I love this. I love this every day. I wait for these reasons.
Four reasons today doesn't suck.
One.
It was on this day in 1938, in a political charged bout, African-American Joe Louis defeats German Max Schmeling in the first round at Yankee Stadium to retain the heavyweight boxing title. And if I'm not mistaken, Hitler was there.
Oh, my.
Whoa. Yeah, he attended the box.
In 48?
38.
Oh, 38. Wow. We can only jump into a time machine and...
Well, they were billing it as, you know, this Max Schmeling could not be beaten. And so Hitler shows up, and he not only to get beaten, he got beat in the first frickin' round.
Wow.
Two.
Signore!
It was on this day in 1965, the Beatles kick off their only visit to Italy with a show in Milan. And this is actual footage from that show. Three-time Oscar winner Meryl Streep is 67 today.
Before today, you had never heard of me.
No.
And you have no style or sense of fashion.
Well, I think that depends on what you're...
No, that wasn't a question.
That was on the other day and I watched it. I love that movie.
I loved it when I saw it. I only saw it the one time. All right, Skeeter.
Yes.
Meryl Streep had her first major screen role in what classic film? Was it Raging Bull, The Deer Hunter, E.T.?
Raging Bull?
It is The Deer Hunter.
Dang.
Meryl Streep earned a Grammy nomination for a song from what musical? Best Little Whorehouse in Texas, Mamma Mia, Cats.
Mamma Mia.
It is Mamma Mia.
Four.
And it was on this day in 1982, Pete Rose gets hit number 3,772, passing Hank Aaron for second place on the all-time list.
Eric!
And lastly, today... And Linda always loves to celebrate whatever day it is.
Oh, and I know what it is. I know what it is.
What is it?
It's National Onion Ring Day.
That may be true, but on my list, it's National No Panties Day.
Oh my. No wonder you wanted me to come down here.
Now, Linda, are you wearing panties currently?
Yeah, I didn't know it was No Panty Day.
It's National No Panties Day.
And you probably aren't.
Aren't what?
Wearing panties.
Oh, I am. But I'm going to take them off, and I invite you to do exactly the same thing.
Please don't. Please.
And eat onion rings.
Pantyless and eating onion rings.
You sex a thing, you.
Now, again, Gina's on vacation, so Skeeter is filling in this break. The G-rated turn-ons for guys. Yep, plenty of not-safe-for-work things can get your guy's motor running, but you'd be surprised at the number of mostly innocent things that can turn up the heat just as high. Cosmos surveyed a bunch of guys and got some interesting responses as to what helps them get in the mood, such as girls in baseball caps. The tomboy sporty hot thing really does it for more outdoorsy fellas. I gotta say, women in baseball, it's just cute.
Yeah, it is.
Next, ankle socks. A schoolgirl thing? Maybe. But it's one of the biggest clothing turn-ons out there, apparently. Now, what is that?
Just your socks that are covering your ankles. And I'm thinking, who wears those now?
Think of that Britney Spears video, that first one she had. So it's the skirt with the ankle socks.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah.
Hello, come on.
I just got
back
a visual.
To the list. Yeah. Come back to us.
The way you say their name, it's just not a guy thing. But if you find the perfect way to whisper that one word, things are perfect.
I think that's true, don't you?
I have agreed with every bit of this list. G-rated turn-ons for guys. women ignoring them.
Yeah.
Not like 100% of the time, but as one dude put it, quote, I love looking at my girlfriend when she's doing something and not paying attention to me. It's hard to describe, but seeing her truly into something is attractive to me.
And I try to ignore you all the time.
And you do very well at it. Thank you. And lastly, women who were smarter than we are, dump the dumb blonde act. Guys like a girl who is challenging.
I think that's true, too.
There's no question.
Yeah.
I told Skeeter on our first date, I was holding the door open for her. We had just been to a dinner that I didn't think I could pay for. And she's getting in the car. She was wearing white pants.
Yep.
And it was my first opportunity to see dead ass. And I said, I just said it. It was our first date. I said, you have a great ass. Linda, would you please tell everybody what you said after I said that?
Go to hell.
She told me to go to hell on the first date.
Hey, the one thing that you like that wasn't on that list, you love a woman in a white t-shirt.
Oh, God. Listen, if you want to turn me on, put on blue jeans that are kind of faded and a white t-shirt that is tight and no bra. I can't stand it.
Yeah, but you like it with the bra, too.
I just like a white t-shirt with big boobs. That's all I can say. So Gina's on vacation. Listeners have been calling up all morning, and they're being Gina for one break at a time. Today, we welcome in Mike calling from Hemet. Good morning, Mike.
Hey, good morning to you, 100.3. How you guys doing?
We're doing good, Mike. How about you?
Well, I've been better, Mark. I'm actually pretty good. I didn't have to look at my wife right away. But other than that, it's a good day. I got my crop, my garden going, everything, Mark.
Well, that's good to hear, Mike. I appreciate you listening, and I appreciate you calling.
You betcha, buddy. I always do. I always try to call you guys. I like bugging you.
Well, now, Mike, the first thing that you and I are going to do here, since you're Gina on this break, is we're going to do a comedy sketch with Eric, our voice actor, and then we'll do some show content, okay?
Yeah, okay, roger that, buddy. You got it.
All right, here we go. So, apparently, this Southern California heat wave is really starting to get out of control, and there are reports.
Excuse me, Mark?
Yeah, who's this?
This is Steve Tarrington. I spoke to you a couple of weeks ago. The station hired me as a special PR consultant for the show.
Okay, yeah, what is it, Steve?
Well, I just wanted to pop in and let you know that we finished a survey among your key demographic, and everybody seems to be very happy with the role each person plays on your show.
Well, that's good to hear, and I'll let Gina know when she gets back from vacation.
Oh, yeah, that's why I'm calling. You see, according to the data, her absence throws off the delicate balance of the show. So I'll be filling in for her, if you don't mind. And just go about your business and forget that I'm here.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, anyway, the heat wave is really getting out of control.
It sure is, Mark. But if you can't stand the heat, then get out of the kitchen. Am I right, ladies? Boom shakalaka. Where are my ladies at?
Steve, she doesn't really talk like that, and I don't see why this is necessary.
Call me Gina.
Fine.
Who is that, Mark?
That's Eric. Hang on, Mike.
Sorry.
Anyway, the weather is going to be so hot. And it's
almost as hot as my boyfriend. Sorry, ladies. He's all mine.
Mark, ladies, is he one of those guys up that like a box of cereal? Once
Mike,
you take out the fruits and the nuts, all you got left is the flakes.
Mike, let me just finish the comedy bit, and I'll get back to you in just a second, Mike. Hang on just a second.
Okay, Mark.
Okay, this is stupid, Steve. Gina, this is stupid.
That's right. Gina, the only Steve I know is my father, L.A. broadcasting legend and all-around great guy, Steve Grad. Happy belated Father's Day, Daddy. Girls represent.
Stop it, Gina.
Right after I tell you what's trending. Pew, pew, pew. Finger pistols. Blowing kisses. Mwah. Yeah, sweet.
All right. Have you ever heard Gina speak like this? What the hell are you doing?
Ruh-roh. Who let the dogs out? Gina, no likey. Dad's totes cray-cray up in this biatch.
Gina never says any of that stuff, Steve. Stop it. Not only are you doing a terrible Gina impression, you're an awful sidekick. We're going to miss her while she's out, but we don't need you to try to replace her.
I just can't believe this. I'm at a loss.
I'm sorry?
I mean, how hard is it to remember to call me Gina? Who are you trying to get crazy with, S.A.? Don't you know I'm loco? No me gusta, muchacho. Arriba!
Not really understanding why you're speaking Spanish now, but okay, please hang up.
Good one, Mark. Auga! Auga! I am a female named Gina something grad. Bye!
Okay, Mike, how you doing?
Okay, buddy.
All right, so we're going to do some show content. You just add your 2 cents, okay?
Oh, boy, I hope you guys are ready.
Oh, such are the dreams of the everyday housewife.
Now, according to a new scientific study, couples who share housework duties have more sex. In the research, couples who reported sharing housework equally had sex an average of 6.8 times a month, or about once more per month than those where the women do most of the routine housework.
What are your thoughts? I think that's nonsense, because when me and her share the housework, I wear a thong, Mark. She wears a thong, I wear a thong, but mine's backwards. I like to wear mine backwards, Mark, because, you know, the old... twigs and berries, they get a little bit out of shape, but it is a lot of fun. And not only that, I don't know why girls have to wax, you know, too much wearing them damn things, because I'll tell you what, Mark, I've had things come out of me like they've been a part of my body for a long time. But that's, I love it. But I don't know about 6 or 8, bullshit.
Oh, hey. You can't cuss, Mike.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. Ixnay, hold Ixnay, arc me, there's my ice way.
I'm hey, doing baby. My best to hang on to this conversation. Okay, so Mike, how long have you been married to your wife?
24 years.
Yeah, has it been good?
Let me look. Yeah, it's wonderful, Mark. I've had a lot of fun with her.
Yeah,
hey, baby. I'm telling the world how much I love you.
Hand the phone to your wife.
Oh, some told me you were going to do that. Yeah.
It, do you
okay,
have
here
a wife?
Comes. Mark and them. I told the world how much I love you, honey.
Oh, my gosh. Hello.
Hi. What is your name?
Tammy.
Tammy. So we've been talking to Mike. Gina, my usual co-host, is on vacation, so we've had listeners fill in. You've been with this guy for 24 years?
Yeah. Yeah.
And do you still like him?
I like to kill him sometimes.
He said today was a good day because when he first woke up, he didn't have to look at you. So,
oh,
Tammy,
man, I would say the same thing. I didn't have to look at him either.
So your husband is quite the personality.
Yes, he is.
And what attracted to you you to him at the beginning?
Oh, I wasn't attracted to him at all. I didn't even like him.
Tell him I was told him tall timber.
Well, it sounds like you two have a good time. Do you have kids?
Yes.
How many?
4.
Jesus. How old are they?
Our oldest is 28. And then I have a 25-year-old. 22-year-old, and our youngest is 18.
How old are you?
I'm 45.
Do you know that you sound 18?
Robin the cradle.
So, Tammy, we just read an article where when married couples share the housework, the couples have more sex. Does Mike help you with the housework?
Hell no.
He doesn't?
No.
How often a week do you and your husband have sex?
God.
Ow.
Oh, my God.
Tammy.
How often a week do we have sex?
Yeah.
3 times a week.
Are you kidding?
I don't know. It's kind of hard sometimes, too.
That's what she said. This has got to be the strangest conversation I've ever been involved in.
I don't know.
If you just joined us, we're talking to Mike and his wife of 24 years, Tammy. So, Tammy, I appreciate you talking to me. Give the phone back to Mike.
There you go.
Hey, Mark.
Hey, Mike.
getting back to that question about how many kids, you know, Mother's Day, I told this old heifer, I said, let me explain something to you. Good night, mother of four. And she goes, well, I got an early Father's Day gift for you. And I thought, oh, cool. I thought, well, my package, everything's going to get taken care of. She goes, good night, father of one. That was my early Father's Day. So I thought about it for a while, Mark, and I wondered why them kids, well, never mind. And yeah, we do the do. And Mark, you got to understand, you're her hero, but she said you could do her any time and that she'd let you ride her like a Brahma bull. Oh my God. I didn't say it. She did.
Mike, I don't know how this conversation has been, but I've thoroughly enjoyed talking to you. Thank you for listening, and thank you for calling up and being Gina.
You bet. Oh, I'm Gina, huh? Do I get something out of the booty?
Yeah, we'll try to find something for you.
Oh, God, I'm sorry, Mark.
No, it's okay.
And I called him. He didn't even call me.
Spanning the globe to bring you the constant variety of sport, the thrill of victory, and the agony of defeat.
We will be joined by Kevin Dimoff of the Rams momentarily, but first, Todd, you said you saw the greatest goal in soccer you've ever seen.
Mark, it was unbelievable. And, of course, USA lost to Argentina 4-0 last night in the semifinals of Copa America, probably the biggest non-World Cup game Team USA has ever played, and they didn't play well. But Lionel Messi, and I know everybody's driving and listening in right now, and they're going to say the same thing. It was the greatest free-kick goal they ever saw. Mark, from about 25 yards out, with a wall of guys in front of him, 10 yards away from him, he curved the ball up over the wall and he put it into about a 1 foot by 1 foot square in the corner, upper corner of the net, the only place where the goalkeeper could not get to it. So wow. Can you imagine being able to control a soccer ball, hitting it with such speed and sticking it in literally an area the size of a soccer ball? It
was Todd, when amazing. I pee, it goes on the floor. So I'm just not the person that can relate to this.
Exactly. There you go.
Mikey, can you get that and put that up?
You peeing on the floor?
No. The goal.
Yeah. I'll find it.
It's unbelievable. I don't know. Can I? Dodgers 3-2 winners over the Nationals. Yasmani Grandel, a three-run homer in the bottom of the eighth inning to give the Dodgers a win. He's only batting 183, and he gets a three-run home run. And the Angels give up a two-run single in the bottom of the ninth, and they lose to the Astros 3-2. Nancy Seaver, she's the wife of Mets great Hall of Famer Tom Seaver. She says she's upset that there's no statue of her husband, Tom, at Citi Field in New York. Says the Mets ought to have some statues. Now, the NBA parade is today in Cleveland, and Jim Brown's going to be in the parade. Bernie Kosar is going to be in the parade, as well as all of the Cavs. And there's various sources that say the Philadelphia 76ers, who have the number one pick in the NBA draft on Thursday night, they will take Ben Simmons from LSU. That means probably Brandon Ingram going to the Lakers, number two. And it just keeps on continuing. In golf news, Rory McIlroy says he will not play in the Olympics because of the Zika virus. And more top, let's say the professional athletes, are not going to the Olympics because of just the risk of Zika.
Good God, man. This is so unfortunate. Every 4 years, we're given a gift where, you know, I don't pretend to watch all of it, but I certainly do tune in. And now, with some of our best, not only athletes, but broadcasters who are refusing to go.
Well, and you think about a sport like golf, which is not in the Olympics on normal occasions. I think it was in Australia as an exhibition sport, but it's now in these Olympics. And, I mean, you would have had the world's top golfers competing for a gold medal. You know, most of the time they compete for millions of dollars. But this one, a gold medal, and I think the competition would have been just fantastic. But, you know, McIlroy's not going to go. A lot of the top Americans have already said they're not going. Other top players from around the world aren't going to go. So I don't know what it's going to be like. Obviously, the traditional Olympic sports like wrestling and track and field, swimming and diving, those athletes are going to go because, I mean, that's the gem of their sports. That's the ultimate goal.
So. Well, as we've been telling you, the Sound is the official FM home of the Rams, and we are currently joined by Kevin Dimoff, the Executive Vice President of Football Operations and COO of the Rams. Kevin, welcome to L.A.
Thank you. It's great to be home, and it's great to be chatting on the FM home of the Rams.
Now, Kevin, one of the first things I wanted to ask, the artist mock-up of that stadium that the Rams are going to play in, for lack of a better, it's so Los Angeles. I've never seen a more beautiful stadium. What is the status of that right now?
We actually just had a law meeting yesterday. We're working on breaking ground and finishing those drawings. So the drawings you've seen aren't just renditions. They're 65% done with construction documents. The contractor is coming on board. And, you know, different than maybe some of the other renderings that have been shown in Los Angeles past years, this one, you know, is being built. But we challenged HKS, our architects, to build a stadium that was truly Los Angeles. And you're not the first person who's told me that when they look at the stadium, they say it looks like Los Angeles. And it has, you know, when you think about the Broad Museum or Disney Hall or the Getty Center, it fits in with those buildings probably more than most stadiums do.
So
Kevin,
Kevin,
this is Todd Donahoe. How you doing?
I'm good, Todd. How are you?
Great. Listen, I talked to Vince Ferragamo at length yesterday, and he told me that the fan reception has been wonderful. You guys had a wonderful fan fest out at the Coliseum last week. How has the reception been? How have the season tickets going? And, you know, look, it's Hollywood. Do you have the Hollywood stars and the media moguls lined up for season tickets?
Well, you know, we have the stars and the media moguls lined up, so I'm sure as long as you guys are taken care of, we've crossed that off the list. The reception has been unbelievable. We had 57,000 people put down a $100 deposit each with the right to buy 8 season tickets. We're about the first 2 hours into that deposit list and have sold over 60,000 season tickets. We're going to close the list most likely at 70,000 at some point in the coming few weeks. From there, we'll sell single game tickets to the deposit holders, to fans. And, you know, we should be sold out completely for the entire season, probably some point in mid-July for a Coliseum attendance of about 80,000. And I think just Vince talked about, you know, we did the all-access event with the Rams and the LA Sports Entertainment Commission last Thursday, completely sold out. The energy and excitement around the team has been unparalleled. And as someone who grew up here, you know, there aren't a lot of things that galvanize Los Angeles together, but this certainly seems to be one of them.
Kevin, one more thing. What is the goal for getting into the new stadium? When do you think we can expect that?
You know, our target goal on the stadium has been 2019. I think we're working through the construction to make sure that, you know, we can meet that deadline. You know, but for us, the focus, too, is this is not just about a football stadium. It's a 298-acre campus in Inglewood, the largest real estate project currently entitled in Southern California. So it's about making sure the fan experience, from the retail aspect to the office, to the hotels, to the theater that's planned on site to the stadium, that it all works. And so when a fan steps on campus, they have a truly wonderful experience. So really, we're targeting to make sure that that's already. We were fortunate enough to be awarded the Super Bowl by 2021. So I think our goal is make sure the campus is ready by 2021 and try to get the stadium open around 2019.
Well, Kevin, we are so honored to be the official FM home of the Rams. Thank you for honoring us with that.
Well, you guys earned it. We're great to be partnering with The Sound and look forward to spending time with you guys over the next few years as we hopefully build a winner. And as I promised everybody, you guys will never broadcast a loss. We will only win games when you guys broadcast.
Now, coming up, Vince Ferragamo, one of the favorites, quarterbacks of the Los Angeles Rams, will join Todd and I. That'll be happening at 10 minutes till. Kevin, thank you so much for the time.
My pleasure, guys. Have a great morning.
Coming up at 8:20, Chick on the Street. Where's she going today? Do we know?
Carl's Jr.
Carl's Jr. We continue the battle of the breakfast sandwich.
When this hustling, bustling, gritty city sometimes gets you down. Hey, what a treat to meet the chick on the street. You never know what she might say.
I ain't gonna cuss, bitch.
It's Katie, and it's gonna be a great day.
I giggle every time that I hear that. So, Chick on the Street is looking for the fastest fast food. She started out on Monday. We went to Jack in the Box. That took like 4 minutes to get the breakfast sandwich. Yesterday was it Burger King?
Yeah.
That was a minute and something?
Minute 43, I believe.
Okay. So today, Katie is at Carl's Jr. Good morning, Katie.
Good morning. What's going on?
Well, we're doing a radio show, Katie.
Hi, your voice is on the air. I'm from Mark in the Morning. My name's Katie. I'd love to order some breakfast.
I got breakfast burger, breakfast burrito.
I'm not going to do a burrito today, but here is what I'm going to do. I'm going to do a sausage, egg, and cheese biscuit, a small hash brown nuggets, And I'll go with a coffee, too. Doesn't that sound like the best breakfast ever? No opinion on that guy, all right?
She didn't say anything to you after you ordered?
Yes. Did you ask me if I want 20 cookies?
Would you like to add a cookie or chocolate cake today?
Oh, okay. No, no, thank you.
Cookie.
That'll do me. All right, I'll see you at the window, okay?
So, Katie, I think Danny wants you to get a receipt.
Okay, I will. He's yelling at me during the commercial break to... Oh, we might hit the curb here. Oh, no, we're good. We're good, Ashley. You're fine. We are pulling up. There's nobody here. Let's see how she's going to respond to us at this window. Did we start a timer, anybody? Okay, great. Just making sure. Good. We're at a minute and 21 here. No one's opened the window yet. I'm just sitting.
So again, Katie, is it Carl's
75th anniversary, though, here at Carl's Jr. is what this window is telling me. Mm. From 1941 to 2016.
Wow.
And they deliver with DoorDash. That's some kind of mobile. I'm just reading you the stickers that are on the door while I wait for her to wash her hands. Well, at least we know she's clean. Oh, come on. Fart noises, though. Oh, I think she's making my coffee. I wish she would open the window so I could talk to one of them while they make my coffee.
This chick on the street is at Carl's Jr. We're looking for the fastest food.
Should
Mikey, you've been... Go ahead.
Should I ask her if Carl's here?
Sure. So, if Mikey, you have been the one eating these each day. Which one have you liked the best?
So far, the Burger King one, the croissant-wich, was really good. The Jack-in-the-Box one was... I ate
Hello.
It, but it wasn't that good.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning. How are you? Your voice is on the air. How are you this morning, Erica?
Fine, thank you.
And what was my total?
$4.57.
All righty. Here's the card.
Thank you.
Need a receipt.
I'd love some cream and sugar, and I definitely need a receipt.
My pleasure. Let me give it to you.
How's your morning going so far?
Fine, thank you.
Great. Good. Do you listen to the radio?
Oh, my God, no, please.
That was a hard no. That was a hard no. Thank you so much. I don't mean to complain. My bag is just leaking something. I'm so sorry. I've just never gotten such a wet bag. You guys, oh, my God, my bag is, like, leaking milk. Understand. She's so nice, though, but my bag's leaking milk. Why is there milk in my bag?
All right, Katie, bring that food so Mikey can try it.
I don't have the order yet. We don't know how long this has taken. Is it over?
The clock is still going, right?
Well, do you
the
have
clock
the food?
Is going. No, she took it back. It was a wet bag.
Okay, then that's officially not, you can't stop the clock yet.
Right, that's what I'm telling you. Pay attention. I mean, it's the whole skit. We got to get the food. But I really wonder why my bag was leaking milk.
Could it have been the creamer that you got for your coffee?
Thank you so, so much. Just a milky bag. Just a few. Just a few. Mm. Colombian blend coffee. A little hot.
We need
hands.
To stop the clock. You got your food.
This is not my... No, no, I don't have my receipt yet.
Oh. We're waiting on a receipt.
That's it. Thank you so much for everything. All right, let's stop the clock. Is the receipt in the bag? Oh, yeah, I got the receipt. We're good. Wonderful. What's our time? Thank you so much. You have a wonderful day. What time?
3:42.
Wow.
Well, okay. So Burger King is the fastest, then Carl's Jr., and then Jack in the Box, dead last.
Yeah.
All right, Katie, bring Mikey that sandwich.
I will. Chick on the street, checking out.
Now, as you all know, the Cleveland Cavaliers are world champions, and their parade is happening today. We have a Cleveland fan on the phone from Cleveland. Good morning, Afif. Afif? Well, he's there. Afif.
I think it's...
Okay.
There it is.
Hey, Afif. Why can't he hear me? Afif. Mikey, try to get his attention.
Afif. He can't hear us?
Hey.
Is this Afif?
Hang on. Let me try something. Hang on.
All right, we're going to redirect this.
Afif? I'm just resetting. Okay, try it again.
Afif?
No.
Well, the Cleveland parade is happening, but apparently this guy can't. Afif. All right, we just can't hear him. A Canadian woman got a sound scolding from cops after she had a cow and phoned her local emergency number 911 to complain that she had been delivered a pizza that didn't have enough cheese on it. The unidentified woman called 911 to say she was unhappy with her pie. Okay, here's a bad pun. Maybe she just thought she could use deputies to help her milk the eatery out of extra cash. And I feel really bad that Gina's not here. Nobody loves a stupid pun more than Gina. All right, let's try this again. A thief.
A thief?
I think I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can.
Oh, it is going absolutely nuts. I can't hear you guys too well, but there's got to be just everybody's going crazy. Everybody loving it.
Hey, so a thief, try to put into words what it means.
I know Los Angeles doesn't get to experience stuff like this, but for Cleveland, this is pretty exciting. So just everybody's going nuts. We're on the rooftop here. There's people hanging off the sides of the parking lots across the road. We saw LeBron pull in a little while ago. So it's a little hard to hear you guys, but hopefully you can hear me.
Yeah, we can.
Have you guys burnt the lake yet?
Say it again?
Have you burnt the lake yet?
The parade is stuffed. The streets are totally packed. The police are trying to clear it out, but there's 1.4 million people downtown Cleveland.
Wow.
It's just insane. Now, I know this is like a typical Tuesday for L.A., but for us, it's kind of nuts.
Well, congratulations on a world championship, Afif.
All right.
Okay. Well, we tried. Gave it the old... This is the wheel coming off the cart, by the way. A Vermont man was hauled in by cops after he got a little bit weed wacky and he went on a drug-addled joyride on top of his lawnmower. Claude Spaulding was pulled over on Monday afternoon after a number of witnesses called 911 to report seeing a guy erratically piloting a riding lawnmower down the middle of Highway 116. The 67-year-old, who was described as cooperative during the traffic stop, reportedly showed signs of being intoxicated. I have never ridden on a lawnmower, a riding lawnmower. I've never been on one.
Yeah, same here. I don't think I've even seen one in person, to be honest. But I'm a suburb kid, so I wouldn't have.
Now, when you were growing up, did you have to cut the grass?
No. We had a gardener. And then when I got my house about 10 years ago, I thought, all right, I'm going to do this. I'm going to cut my own grass. I bought a lawnmower and it lasted about 2 months before I said, you know what? It's because it's too hot in the summertime. I can't do it. So I hired somebody to do it for me.
I will say this. When I was a kid, and I dreaded it. I hated doing it. But when I was a kid, when I would cut the grass, you kind of go into a meditative state where even at 10, you kind of work out some of your kid problems because, you know, you're busy doing something and it takes your mind off of whatever. And you kind of work out stuff.
Mm. Yeah, I missed all that. I played hockey.
I'm sorry.
Now, in the world of apologies, this is pretty good. I told you this yesterday. Selma Blair has apologized for her outburst that got her removed from a flight. Yesterday, the actress said, "I made a big mistake yesterday. After a lovely trip with my son and his dad, I mixed alcohol with medication, and that caused me to black out and led me to say and do things that I deeply regret." Selma was on a flight from Cancun to LA when she reportedly began yelling, quote, "He burns my private parts. He beats me. He's going to kill me." She was later taken off the flight on a stretcher and taken to a hospital. In her statement to Vanity Fair, she added, quote, "I take this very seriously, and I apologize to all of the passengers and crew that I disturbed and am thankful to all the people who helped me in the aftermath. I am a flawed human being who makes mistakes, and I'm filled with shame over this incident. I am truly very sorry." She says that fortunately her young son was asleep and wearing headphones during the incident. Now, what happened was weird and scary and bizarre, but pound for pound, that's about a perfect apology.
Yeah.
So
I'm surprised. How does this not happen more often? I mean, she's famous, so we hear about it, but how does this not happen more often? I mean, people always drink and take Ambien or whatever when they're on a plane. How does this not happen all the time?
Well, I told you guys this story. This was four or five flights back, but there was a dude sitting on the plane that was clearly enamored, and they kept serving him. And there was a guy, and he was already getting loud and belligerent. And there was a guy, I referred to him as New York because he was a New Yorker. At one point, he stood up and he's looking at the drunk. And then he looks at me as to say with his eyes, "Are you in on this? Are you down? Because if we have to take care of this, it's going to be you and me." Not only is Todd joining me, but a fan favorite quarterback for the Los Angeles Rams, Vince Ferragamo, joins us. Good morning, Vince.
Good morning. How are you?
Really good. And Todd Donahoe, who you know very, very well, is on with us.
Oh, yeah.
Good morning, Todd.
Great morning to you, Mark, and to Vince.
So, Vince, quickly, I've been saying, and I don't know a lot about the present Rams, but what I do know are two valuable things. One, the Rams have Todd Gurley, one of the best running backs in the NFL, and they've got a rookie quarterback that they drafted in Jared Goff. It's my mind that they have to play Jared Goff, but it's going to be a run-first team and not put the weight of winning on Jared's shoulders while he goes through a rookie season.
Well, you know, I think both Les Snead and Jeff Fisher understand the maturation of a young quarterback. They dealt with McNair in Tennessee, and it took him a couple years, and you know it's a big adjustment coming out of college, at least in your first year. I think by second or third year you're ready, but yeah, he's highly touted. He's coming out of Cal, which is a great understudy for quarterbacks in the NFL, and you know he's thrown the ball quite a bit. He's a bright kid, so yeah, he will pick up that information real quickly because he's an intelligent kid and he's got great composure. You know, Mark, that's what I really liked about when I met him and you know just getting to know him. And part of the position of quarterback is learning and growing and being able to educate yourself pretty much, you know, what you hear from the coaches. And you know he's sharp enough to really pick up quick, so I think we'll see him pretty soon. I don't know, it just for him to come out and throw big numbers up the first year is going to be very difficult though, but he's got a great running back in Todd Gurley.
So Vince, compared to back in the day when you played, how much more difficult do you think it is to be a quarterback in the present day NFL?
Well, it's a lot more fun, I think, because the offenses are more wide open. They're sophisticated. They can game plan, and that's the beauty about football, about how they architect the offense and how they get guys open, you know, what they're trying to attack, whether it be a zone or man or combination, and you know, blitz coverages, and, you know, the protection is the key. So as long as that offensive line stands up, you know, that's the number one key for any quarterback is where your protection, where you're weak, how to exploit the defense, all these kind of things with no backs in the backfield, spread open offense. I mean, there's so many things you can do that make the game so exciting to watch and fun for the quarterback.
If you just joined us, we're speaking with fan favorite Vince Ferragamo, and Todd is with us. Go ahead, Todd.
Yeah. Well, Vince, look, let's face it. The Rams draft Jared Goff with the number one pick in the draft. He will be the starting quarterback, but obviously not necessarily right away. And I don't know how much you've seen of Case Keenum and Nick Foles and the other quarterbacks that the Rams have, but at what time would you expect to see Jared Goff in the lineup, and what are the things that would lead up to that?
Well, I mean, when you're drafted number one pick, you know, you're right, Todd. There's a lot of pressure on the young quarterback to get ready quick, and everybody's expecting him to play. So that's the high expectations are what drives you crazy. But you got to remember, he's still a young kid and he's still growing. Doesn't matter how much he's getting paid or what position he got drafted. It's the quarterback position. But the Rams are pretty well stacked with quarterbacks. I mean, they've got some experienced quarterbacks. You know, they drafted well last year in quarterbacks. So, I mean, they've got some very reliable players back there. So, I mean, they're all going to compete and they're all going to improve and make each other better. So, but yeah, you're right. The quarterback position is a key position on your team, but he's the kind of the leader and the team has to respond. But remember, Todd, as you know, we're back in Los Angeles. So it's Tinseltown. It's fun. It's competition. It's controversy. So, you know, they'll have to grow into that kind of, aspect of playing the quarterback position here in Los Angeles.
So, Vince, I'm a season ticket holder for the Carolina Panthers, and I went to the Super Bowl expecting to win it. We physically went to San Francisco and went to the game. It was the worst night of my life, and I wasn't playing. I was just a fan. You played in a Super Bowl, and you almost won it. Does that stick with you to this day?
Well, I think, yeah, it really was marked one of the highlights of our career, playing in Los Angeles, going to the first Super Bowl, and playing right there at the Rose Bowl and playing the Pittsburgh Steelers. Everybody, we had a great defense, and, defense wins championships, and so the Rams do have a good defense, and, we had it back in those days, and it was really a thrill to play in a game, but it really resonates, years later. I mean, you think about a pass. I mean, one of the nicest passes I thrown was intercepted. So it's like, oh, that was a pretty pass, But Lambert stepped right in front of that one. So, but, things happen. And but, we grew from it. And so I think that's what you have to do. I mean, you can't win every game, but you have to approach the game and you have to win like a champion and you have to lose like a champion. So when you don't win, you got to find ways to get better the next time back. And so, that's the key for every player. I mean, and if you have that attitude and the team can get better, then that's what you want.
Are you going to be involved with the Rams organization?
Well, I'm going to do some work, I think, with Fox this year and, hopefully be a part of the Rams somehow. And, of course, I'm a big fan and live here in Southern California, never moved away and in the real estate business. So we just, trying to stay a part of the team. I think the team is trying to look at the former players and kind of bring them back into the mold to inspire some of these younger guys, because it really does work. And Jeff Fisher is a big believer in that. And so I think the team will make the older guys more available to not only the players on the team, but to the fans. I mean, the fans really like it too as well.
Hey, Mark, Vince just made a real good point, and that is the older players. I mean, Jim Everett, Kevin Green, Jackie Slater's, Vince Ferragamo's, Jack Youngblood, Leroy Irwin, they didn't leave the Rams. The Rams left them, and now they're coming back. And the fans, I think, would love to see the old Rams be encircled by these Rams. And the fans, I think that's great for reaching out to the fans.
It was fun, Todd, and it was, we had an NFL experience just last week on the Coliseum floor, and it was really fun, and a lot of the fans and sponsors were out in attendance, and it was kind of a fan fest day where they could, meet some of the older guys and step on the field and see some of the guys demonstrate a few things that we used to do, and in the locker room they see the equipment and what it's like to put on some of that gear, and it was kind of fun for all the fans. And, I think the fans do relate. They don't forget. I know that, Nebraska was that way when I played in college ball. And some of the great teams in the NFL still recognize a lot of the old guys because it inspires the young guys for the future.
We're speaking with Vince Ferragamo. Vince, one more thing and I'll let you go. Tell me, please, what I'll never know. When you were playing, you were in Los Angeles. You were just drop-dead gorgeous. You're on the
man
Los Angeles
crush, Mike.
How great was it, Vince, for all those gorgeous women that you must have been spending time
He's
with?
He's married, Mark. Come on.
Luckily I have my wife standing real close to me. And at the time, we got married in 1979, my first, was the third year in the NFL. And so, she was always not too far away from me. So kind of keeping that Sicilian look. Every time she'd look at me, I'd have to kind of shape up. So she kind of kept me in gear most of the time. So, It was fun. It was fun. I mean, a lot of people make mention of that, but, you know, it's how you were born and raised, and the best thing about everything is your family life. And so, you know, if you look into that number one, I think everything else is fine.
Vince Ferragamo, thank you so much for taking time out. And Todd, thank you for carving out some of your golf time to be with us.
There you go, babe.
Good talking to you, Todd.
Hey, great talking to you, Benny.
All right.
All right, so chick on the street this morning, she went to Carl's Jr.,
yep.
Okay, so every day we've been checking to see who is the fastest with their breakfast sandwich. Mikey has it. What is this called? The Carl's Jr. What?
It's the egg, cheese, and sausage biscuit.
All right, you did not like the Jack in the Box. You did like yesterday's Burger King.
Yeah, the croissant witch yesterday, yeah.
So now sample the
biscuit. Here we go.
Carl's Jr.
Mmm. Oh, I'm good. Oh, man. Dude. This is the best one so far. This is great. It's the biscuit. The biscuit's like a KFC biscuit. Like, it's really buttermilky and gooey. Oh, that's good. Yeah, really
now,
good.
Now, obviously, you watch your weight. You're not going to finish that whole thing, of course.
Oh, yeah. I'm already halfway done. Oh, that's good.
All right, while you enjoy that.
And what's up, Doc?
Some people like their rock and roll. Now, Mikey, listen to this, and I don't even know. This is nuts. Some people like their rock and roll very heavy, but one man is hoping to make a fortune by selling one of the lightest bits of rock memorabilia ever. It is a jar of air from a show by a just reunited band that is one of the most popular acts in UK history. The seller, who lives in Wales, says he captured the, quote, air sample while the Stone Roses were playing the fan favorite I Am the Resurrection at a sold-out stadium in England on Saturday. To sweeten the deal, he's promising to throw in all the atmosphere, anticipation, and ecstasy of 60,000 people singing their hearts out, captured forever, and guarantees, quote, if you place your ear next to the jar, you can still hear a faint reverberation of John Squire's guitar solo. Through the auction, it doesn't end until this weekend, bids are already $100,000.
Wow.
For a jar. Have you ever heard of the Stone Roses?
Yeah, I've heard a few of their songs. They're all right. They're pretty good. They're a little like psychedelic pop kind of. They're not bad.
Well, dude, yeah. A jar of air, Mikey.
Yeah.
$100,000.
And you can hear the song if you listen very closely. They must be really high.
That wraps it for us, but Uncle Joe returns from vacation with a 10 at 10.
Oh, and a new attitude. I can't remember any of those things anymore. I take a little time off, have to retrain from the beginning. This is what we're going to do with the 10 at 10 today. The year that Who Framed Roger Rabbit came out, and Die Hard, the original, in Bull Durham. That's the year it came out. Mikey, guess.
1980.
No, 1988. Oh, man. 1988, some great music coming up that sounds 10 at 10.
Tomorrow, Chick on the Street continues trying to find the fastest fast food. She heads to Taco Bell. Joe Walsh's daughter, Lucy Walsh, will come join me for the show with Gina on Vacation. And we continue following the Led Zeppelin trial with David Schultz. Mikey!
I need a Casbah, and I need a rocket. Here's the Clash on Mark in the Morning.
Oh, dear.
Want more Mark in the Morning? Live and in living color in Southern California. Listen weekday mornings from 6 to 10 on 100.3 FM.